Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This weekend, we'll see some ancient history in hip-hop. The new film Straight Outta Compton tells the story of five friends who shot out of that California city like a rocket. Here's a scene from the movie N.W.A. at its first press conference, facing skeptical reporters.
We gave the people a voice. We gave the people truth.
Yeah, but your songs, they glamorize the lifestyle of gangs, guns, drugs.
Our art is a reflection of our reality. What you see when you go outside your door?
I know what I see.
And it ain't glamorous.
N.W.A. described what was happening on their streets, gangs, drug dealing, in angry, N-word-laced songs. In fact, a warning. Much of them had to be bleeped in our next conversation. They didn't get radio play. You couldn't even say their name, N-words with attitude, so it was shortened to N.W.A. Eazy-E, DJ Yella, MC Ren, Ice Cube, who wrote much of the group's lyrics, and producer Dr. Dre created gangster rap. In its 1989 review of their debut album, the LA Times said their music was slithering into the mainstream, dragging the reality of the black ghetto with it. They sold more than 10 million copies of their first record, Straight Outta Compton. Historian and author Bakari Kitwana has written several books on the genre, including Hip Hop Generation. He joins us now. And Bakari, start with context. N.W.A. called out other blacks, just like gangs did, but it sounded anti-black to some listeners. They demeaned women. They said it was to express the reality they saw. But give us context. What was happening before N.W.A.?
Before N.W.A., you have Run DMC, you have Curtis Blow, you have Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Big Daddy Kane. And I would say the music was broader in range. Mm-hmm. You had party music and you had political music. So more of a mixed range. I think by the time N.W.A. emerges, the music begins to change after that.
Well, and it started a little before that, too. 1987, Eazy-E had the edgy Boys in the Hood. Let's listen.
Woke up quick at about noon, just thought that I had to be in Compton soon. I gotta get drunk before the day begins, before my mother starts about my friends. About to go and damn near went blind, young pad throwing up gang signs. Ran in the house and grabbed my clip with the Mac-10 on the side of my hip.
Okay, so, you know, we were hearing this edginess come. People's reactions, what were people's reactions?
One of the things that was happening, just to set the political context of the late 80s, in the mid 80s, 1983, you have the election of Mayor Harold Washington in Chicago. 1984, you have the presidential run of Jesse Jackson, and again in 88. Also in those early 80s, 85, 86, you have the reemergence of Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. And so N.W.A. emerges with a really in-your-face anti-black and anti-women message that really wasn't expected and turned a lot of people off and certainly got under the nails of the FBI and the police.
Well, in fact, let's listen to one of their best-known records, F the Police. Let's have it.
Police coming straight from the underground. A young got it bad because I'm brown and not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill them. I ain't the one for a punk with a badge and a gun to be beaten on and thrown in jail. We can go toe-to-toe in the middle of a cell.
So a couple things, Bakari Kitwana. This song did draw the attention of law enforcement. N.W.A. was taken off the stage by police during a concert in Detroit. While performing that song, the FBI's assistant director at the time sent the group a letter saying that advocating violence and assault is wrong. We take exception to such action. But what was the climate in Compton that the group was trying to express? Because we know that historically, the police have been criticized before this time of not being in the minority community. What was happening at this point?
One of the important phenomena that's happening in the country was the crack cocaine explosion and the war on drugs. And so you have the police beginning to move into this kind of paramilitary style of policing and really targeting black and brown neighborhoods that contributed to the rise of incarceration in this country. In 1970, only 200,000 people are incarcerated in the entire country. By 2000, over 2 million folks are incarcerated. And a lot of this had to do with this shift that often violated people's constitutional rights and in many ways began to lay the foundation for a continuation of what we're seeing today.
Well, and your forthcoming book is Hip Hop Activism in the Obama Era. What do you think when you are watching news out of Ferguson or all the different news stories and hearing NWA again from back in 1989?
I think that what we're seeing today with the Black Lives Matter protesting and specifically coming out of Ferguson with the Mike Brown rebellion before it was labeled Black Lives Matter, we were seeing this style of policing and this kind of violation of basic rights for folks that's really off the mainstream. And NWA brought it into a mainstream conversation. I think the same thing is happening today. And you're getting artists like Kendrick Lamar that are articulating this in their music.
I just want a footnote here. I got to spend some time with Ice Cube in 1990 making a documentary on a young filmmaker. His film turned out to be Boys in the Hood. It was John Singleton, and of course Ice Cube starred in that. And it was a devastating depiction of life in the inner city when the epidemic of drive-by shootings also popped up at around the same time. What struck me is that Ice Cube did not seem at all like his onstage character. He was very quiet, very thoughtful, almost shy. I mean, were they living the life? Were they observing the life? What were they doing?
In that period of hip hop, the late 80s and the early 90s, you certainly have a number of artists who were observing what was happening and then writing about it. As we start to move into the 90s, that begins to shift, and we're getting more artists who are coming out of that lifestyle and continuing to rap about it.
One other element, the HIV epidemic. Rapper Eazy-E died of AIDS in 1995.
It was a huge wake-up call within the hip-hop community. I can remember in those days I was still working as an editor at The Source magazine, and it was a huge national conversation among young people and really bringing an awareness of HIV and AIDS into those communities.
So here we have the new film coming out telling the story of NWA straight out of Compton. Ice Cube's played by his son, you know, who's now 26. But Ice Cube, to many people now, is the dad in the movies, like, are we there yet? You know, Dr. Dre makes Beats headphones. What is your sense of how well the current generation knows who NWA was?
Yeah, I think that's a hard one. I mean, we're really talking about almost, 25, 30 years. I mean, I really think that what happens with the passage of time, when folks look back, they really don't care. They yeah. don't care as much as the people who live through it, unless you're really deeply into the culture.
So the younger people may not know who they are. And you might have to convince older people who lived through it that NWA had meaning. They know things like, for instance, Dr. Dre beat up Dee Barnes. He had a history of beating up women. The lyrics were misogynistic. They used the N-word. Some people might still be wondering, what was the importance of this group?
You know, a part of the importance was the political critique. I think that for a generation of young people who were oftentimes locked out of presentation of their own voice, groups like NWA and hip hop in general began to articulate those voices. Even though it was so shocking that a lot of the older folks didn't really hear the politics of it until it was too late. A few years later, after NWA, we have the LA riots. When you're young and that's happening, you're getting all the things that are beautiful and all the things that are ugly. With NWA, that's what we got. And with what happened to Dee Barnes, who was a VJ for a Fox program called Pump It Up, it was a real wake-up call around when does the art begin and when does the reality end. That incident really stayed with folks, and I think it helped to politicize a generation around gender consciousness.
Bakari Kitwana, author of The Hip Hop Generation, also the forthcoming book, Hip Hop Activism in the Obama Era, on the group NWA. Bakari, thank you.
Thank you.
Don't be another sequel.
So, do you remember? If you're young, do you care? Are you going to go see the movie this weekend? What does NWA mean to you? We'd love to hear at hereandnow.org.